Thanks for listening to the best of The Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of kicking some butt,
yes,
the Rockets haven't been doing that. The Houston Rockets. They actually been getting their keisters kicked around thus far in the NBA. I think they're 2-2. It's early, but
they don't look 1-3.
Are they 1-3?
1-3.
1-3. I'm actually giving them
You're giving them more credit than they really are.
They deserve. It's early, but still, it's got to be a bit concerning. And so Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN has tweeted out, and
easy
he has a story coming out.
How come he just can't? His name can't be just Adrian.
Well, everybody
Woj.
Just calls him Woj.
Well, because that's how hard his last name is.
Right.
And we know Adrian for years.
Oh, yeah, I've known Woj for, over 20 years.
I've known him for 25 years.
Yeah.
Back when he was in Jersey.
Yep. A columnist for Virgin Records.
We all covered sports in New York at that time. It's amazing, like, how small a fraternity is.
We had on a few weeks ago.
We all work with him.
Wrote a book recently about the Patriots and Bill Belichick. We know him going way back. Stephen A. Smith.
Michael K. was a reporter for the New York Post. Yep. I could go on and on and on about all these people who over the years. Mike Freeman, who's with the Bleacher Report now, but he was a New York Times football writer.
I wrote at the New York Times with
Bill Roden.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Who's it just goes on and on and on. And it's great. It's great to see guys progress over the years.
Absolutely.
But speaking of the Houston Rockets, they have apparently made an offer to the Minnesota Timberwolves
for
Jimmy Butler.
Desperate.
They are. And it includes.
Desperate.
Here's the thing, Rob. 4 future first round picks.
Not 2, not 3.
Chris, we have Brooklyn on the phone. Can you pick up? We got Brooklyn on the phone.
Billy King. And I like Billy King, but he's still. That's going to be in the first paragraph of his obituary.
Right. No, it haunts him.
They still are paying for – that was, 2012, I think?
Yeah.
6 years later, they're still paying for that
trade.
They're
finally going to at least dig out where they have money to spend, but they were handcuffed for a long time.
Oh, it's terrible.
This offseason, they'll have money.
Will they get anybody? That's the question. And yeah. I tend to think they won't get the big names. But, yeah, so we'll get to that later. But of course, Rob, we've got to start with the biggest story in sports right now, and it will be for the next week or so, depending on how much the Dodgers have left in them. They're down 0-2 now to the Boston Red Sox.
You were saying I was being optimistic on the local radio in L.A., and that was because, Chris, they're really one game down from where they should be. They were never going to go to Boston and win 2 games. If they got a split
in
Boston.
And I'm only half a foot away from, you know, maybe being in the NBA.
Oh, is that right? I don't know about that. But if they would have split, remember, one game was 5-4 when they gave up the big home run, right? So it made it look
But it ended up being 8-4.
No, I mean, and they lost 4-2.
You're starting to sound like Skip Bayless.
No, I'm not.
Taking away. Tom Brady really won that World Series
Super Bowl
a couple years ago, right?
I'm not doing that. But I'm saying if they would have come back 1-1, it's right where they would have wanted to. That was the goal, to steal one in Boston.
Right.
They didn't get it done. If they win game 3 in L.A., you got a series.
Right. No question.
It's that simple. That simple.
But when you look at it this way, they've got to win 4 of the next 5.
You can't look at it that way because that's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
No, right. You got to look at that one game at a time. If you think you can win 4 games in one day, that's not how it works. You win one game. We just saw this where a team can be down. And the thing that I brought up was my first World Series I ever covered, Chris, was 1986. The Mets and the Red Sox. I was working for the Daily News in New York. I was thrilled. I was 22 years old. I got my first World Series. If you remember that World Series.
I do.
The Mets lost the first 2 games at home.
Yep.
They were down 0-2 going to Boston for 3.
Right. No.
And they won that World Series. When they left New York to go back to Boston, nobody thought they were coming back to New York. You know what I mean?
Let alone
for game 6 or 7, let alone win.
Yep.
So it is doable.
No,
it's not impossible.
We saw it, what, was it 2004? When the Red Sox were down 3-0
in the ALCS.
Obviously came back and won. We saw it with LeBron James and Golden State. That had never happened.
They were down 3-1.
Yep, 73-win team up 3-1 on them. So it can happen. But the point that a lot of people are talking about, and I think it's worth talking about, so we're going to get into it too, is the analytics. And we talked about it yesterday, but they weren't listening to us. I thought Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman and these guys were listening to us.
No,
because we were trying to change their mind. But I want to title this Analytics Gone Wild.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's what this is.
Right.
I mean, here's the deal. You've got a team that has lived and died all season long by the home run because of the analytics. And that's why their record, they were so streaky. They were up and down. They had the greatest win differential margin, you know, point margin or run margin the league. And it didn't seem to show it in the record because they lived and died by the home run. And now you get to the World Series. And because of the analytics, you have started the first two games of the World Series with your four leading home run hitters out of the starting lineup.
Doesn't make sense.
Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, and Yasmani Grandal. And look, I understand Grandal is bad.
He's been struggling defensively.
That's not because of analytics. We're saying you don't have to have him playing. But he's been struggling defensively, as you said.
But Muncy and
Bellinger are star. Well, Muncy is a star this year.
And Bellinger was a star last year and has had big moments and was the NLCS MVP.
He was the MVP of the series just a week ago.
Right.
He's the reigning NL Rookie of the Year.
Right.
And, Rob, I said this to you when we were talking earlier. If a manager – imagine this. If a manager had done this 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, his sanity would be – and I'm not joking.
No, I know what you
his
mean.
His sanity would be questioned. If the Pittsburgh Pirates, when they won the World Series, what was that, 79 or whatever
year? Yeah.
If they had
We Are Family.
Willie Stargell, Dave Parker.
Right.
I mean, all these guys they had – because you would question – a manager's sanity. And I'm not even joking one iota.
And back then, it didn't matter who was pitching, Chris.
No!
It didn't matter who was pitching.
Am I a base? Am I a hitter or not?
You're a hitter.
And here's the we got plenty to talk about on this. If you want to chime in, hit us at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. But let's hear from, look, A-Rod and Big Poppy, David Ortiz. They know much better than us. Let's hear what they're saying about the way the Dodgers have used the analytics in this series.
They neutered their MVP. You can see it in his face. You see the body language. He's got family. He's got friends texting him saying, didn't you just win the MVP, bro?
In the playoffs, nobody need a day off. You go with your thunder no matter what. No matter if they struggle or not. The fans want to see that guy in the lineup. And the longest, you don't have those guys in the lineup, you're not going to get to where you want to be.
Hey, can we – let's just – Poppy was good. You go with your thunder no matter – even if you're struggling. A-Rod on baseball has been tremendous.
No question. This guy is fantastic.
Honest.
Yes.
Right?
Knowledgeable, knows the game.
Knows the game in and out and is not afraid to say what other people
– right.
A lot of people, like I say, when you're a baseball player like he was and played for a long time, you have a lot of friendships. And, you know, you don't want to show somebody up. You're saying what the Dodgers – just said the Dodgers neutered their MVP. I mean, just
– and he's absolutely – and I don't know A-Rod. I don't know if you've dealt with him.
Yeah, no, I've dealt with him a lot. You know what I mean over the years.
Like,
right.
But I wonder – maybe this is just how he is. He's always been this kind of guy. Or I wonder if the criticism – obviously he – and no, I'm not absolving him. Well-deserved. I mean, with the steroids and
right.
PEDs,
we all know
that.
About – right.
But he has been through the fire. Like, he's everything that could – the worst things that could be said about a baseball player
have been said
about him.
Yep.
He's probably had friends, guys that he was tight with, you know, people that mentored him or he mentored rip him
right.
or whatever. So he don't care.
No.
He's like, look, you can't say anything about me that hadn't been said already, and maybe that's why he's so honest, but I love it.
And I love it, too, and I think that's the reason, you know, I think it was, you know, when he started out on Fox – and he did well. And then all of a sudden, ESPN wanted him on Sunday Night Baseball. So I thought at first Fox was going to lose him, right, for Sunday Night Baseball. And they worked out a deal where he's on both.
That's how good you are.
You know,
we've worked for both companies.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what that's.
They don't share people.
No, there's competition.
Yes,
there are people that use terms like, and excuse me if this is over the top, war.
Right.
This is war.
Yep.
I mean, that's what beat writers and different networks say about each other.
Right.
It's almost like if LeBron James wanted to play football, and we know there he was a great football player in high school. If he wanted to play for the Cleveland Browns or now, I guess, what, the L.A. Rams or whoever, it's like you let him.
Right.
Like if a team said, okay, you're that good, you can play
for the Rams. It's
amazing.
And
you can play for us, the Lakers. But I've got a lot to say about this, and I think A-Rod hit what – it's ironic that he said you've neutered him and you got family, he's embarrassed and so on and so forth. Because just, the analytics do that. The one thing they do not take into account is the humanity of a person.
It's the World Series, right? This is what you play for. This is what you dream about. And then here you go. It's time for you to play, and you're not. You go to the lineup. You know, go look at the lineup card, and you're not in it. And you're like, I'm not playing.
I'm not only hurt. I am ticked off. This is the type of thing, now granted, a lot of teams are doing the analytics like this, but this is the type of thing that when I'm a free agent,
I'm looking at, like,
hold on, they don't play me in the World Series at certain points. Are you going to play me? I'm one of the best players in the league.
And strictly because I'm left-handed. Poppy said it, you go with your thunder. Even when guys are struggling, you give them a chance to get out of it. All you need is one big hit. If Bellinger only gets you one hit and it's a three-run homer, it's worth it. He doesn't have to get four hits to be worth it.
What about
he get
rhythm?
One hit?
What about momentum? You know, you send me up one time a game and I'm supposed to do damage in that one time.
Right.
I mean, maybe I will, but I need to get in rhythm.
It's hard
I
to pinch it.
I need to swing the bat.
It's hard to pinch it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of good times, Rob Parker, no one had a better time last night than one of my favorite players, not only in the league, I'm going to say it, not only in the league today, one of my, not my all-time favorite, but one of my favorite players ever.
Rob G., the only reason that Steph Curry is his favorite player is because he's light-skinned and he's the only guy shorter than Chris.
Hey, he balling. He represents the light-skinned brothers.
Light-skinned brothers, right.
So is Zach LaVine with the dunks and Drake rapping and all that. But that's neither here nor there.
Jordan and LeBron, I'm brown-skinned.
Last night, Steph Curry, Rob, goes for 51 points. Makes 11 three-pointers in their victory over Washington. Just totally dominated the Washington Wizards. Didn't even play the fourth quarter. And I love it. I love it because, again, I have no problem with Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. He's gotten his two championships. He's been the MVP of the finals the last 2 years. He has been their best player. But I've always said this since Durant got there. And it became evident. Steph Curry, the two years before Durant got there, Steph was doing what he did last night like once a week. I'm not saying scoring 51 points, but putting on a three-point extravaganza. It seemed like every week there was some spectacular performance by Steph Curry, especially his second MVP year where he averaged 30 points a game. And now when Durant got there, because obviously Durant's such a great player and he gets his too, you don't see that as often with Steph. But this year, Rob, the old Steph Curry is back. He's averaging 34.5 points a game. He's averaging 7 assists a game. He's shooting 55% from the field, 52% from three. He is playing. This is how good he was before Durant got there. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, who I have great respect for, obviously played in the league and was and is one of the best NBA analysts Legs. I think out there. Legs said, now he overstated this. I don't agree with this statement, but it just shows you how good Steph was.
Why did you just shut down Legs?
No, Legs said Steph, because people were starting to say Steph Curry, if he keeps this up, could be one of the top 10 players of all time. Legs said he could be one of the top three, which I think is an overstatement. But my point is that's how good he was. And what I'm looking at right now is the old Steph Curry. He is by far the most exciting player in the league to watch when he plays like this. And I am just totally ecstatic about the way he started the season. I love it.
Steph Curry news bulletin is old news
what?
In the NBA.
What?
I would rather see KD any
day. You really
day
mean this?
And KD hijacked his team. He came to Golden State and said, give me that.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He took the team.
Steph let him.
He took the team and he took those MVPs in the finals. Steph Curry's an afterthought. That's why.
Afterthought.
That's why even after he had the one big game in the finals, everybody's like, this is going to be the year that Steph's going to win. Steph's going to win the MVP and whatnot. No, it did not happen. I'm looking up the last couple years to check out all the 50-point games that Steph Curry's had. You ready? The last time Steph Curry had a big 50-point game in the previous two seasons, the last time Chris Broussard broke a big story in the NBA. That's how long it's been.
When was the last time he hit 50?
He didn't hit one in the last 2 years. Not since KD's been there.
And that's what I said. But how many times has KD gone for 50?
But my point
is, you ain't gonna go for 50 very often when you got two great players like that.
Why?
And a good one in Klay Thompson.
He has them now. KD didn't go anywhere.
Because the old Steph is back. He's not deferring anymore. He's not being Mr. Nice Guy.
He ain't back. He's old news. The new sheriff in town is KD. And Steph was cute for a minute. It was a hot, hot story. Everybody got all into it.
Cute for a minute.
It was cute for a minute. This whole talk and the last couple of years in the finals is proof positive. He's the afterthought. He's the Robin. He's not Batman. He's not leading the Warriors anymore. Nobody is all those nurse shoes that he sold from Under Armour. Remember those nurse shoes that bombed, that they were in the racks at Marshall's after they were released? Ain't nobody buying those shoes about that. I'm talking about Steph Curry is not a featured performer anymore in the NBA.
What, Rob Parker?
He's not.
Apologize.
No, I'm not apologizing.
I'm glad you
Who would you
up.
Rather
I'm
watch?
I'm glad you.
Steph Curry. Or Kevin Durant, 877-99 on Fox. Steph Curry, it was nice.
I guarantee you that the callers would rather watch Steph Curry.
Nah.
And this is no slight on KD, because KD is great
to watch.
I watch
KD any time of the day.
Steph Curry is the most exciting player in the NBA when he's playing his game.
And he's more clutch, too. KD over Steph Curry's more clutch.
I'm glad you brought up the finals. Let me tell you about the finals, because there is this grand misconception out there that Steph Curry does not show up in the NBA Finals. Let me read you.
I didn't see him last year after that one big game.
I don't know why, because here are his stats. Last year in the NBA Finals, 27 points a game, 9 assists a game, 8 rebounds a game. What's the problem?
A lot of those numbers are Stat Padfoot's numbers. KD wrapped up the game.
Nah, stop it.
Then he would pad the stats.
No. Let me tell you what his stats were. Everybody said their first championship, Steph didn't play well. Steph didn't do this. Steph actually averaged more points in that first championship than he did in the season that year when he was the MVP. Averaged 23 points a game that season.
Tell me the year that they lost. They were up 3-1. Tell me what his numbers were.
With all due respect to Andre Iguodala, it was one of the biggest travesties in NBA Finals history.
No, it wasn't.
That he was the MVP over Steph Curry. Steph Curry averaged 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and in game five of that series, he had 37 points. Like, where's this narrative that Steph didn't get it done in the finals come from?
He hasn't got it done.
I think it's light-skinned brother hate.
No, it ain't.
I really do. You worried about the light-skinned brothers taking over. You
we
know
ain't
you
worried
are.
About that.
You know you are, because we got Steph, and we got Clay, and we got Ben Simmons, and Carl Anthony Towns, and Anthony Davis.
Oh, look at that.
It's just easy. I'm just running them off.
He got the light-skinned roster. Is that in your pocket?
That's my light-skinned starting five right
there. Hey.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Well, we're going to stick with basketball, but move to the collegiate level, where Syracuse coach, the legendary coach, Jim Boeheim,
who's only won one championship in 45 years, is the most overrated coach out there in college basketball.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
Wow. Okay.
No, all the players who have come through Syracuse, and if Carmelo Anthony didn't have the greatest run in a tournament, you remember, he'd be lit everything on fire, Boeheim still wouldn't have a championship.
Well, let me say this. First of all, you know, there's a lot of legendary coaches that only have one championship.
Anybody can win one.
And Dwayne Pearl Washington at Syracuse, one of my favorite players ever.
I know
one
that.
Of my favorite college players ever.
I covered but the Nets when he got drafted.
So he was seventh pick or something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of great Syracuse players didn't pan out in the NBA. You know, they were – Pearl Washington didn't even have an NBA career.
No, not really.
Like 3 years.
But he was a whatchacallit. He was one of those guys who had a man body in high school.
As a youngster, yep.
But in college, he dominated. He came into the pros. He wasn't athletic enough.
No.
Watched him every night.
He passed now. But this was maybe 15 years ago. And I asked him what happened with the pros. He said, you know, to your point, he said, when I was in high school and college, I could just dominate guys really without even trying. He said, when I got to the NBA, everybody was so good, I couldn't do it. And I realized I was going to have to really work my tail off to do that or even to be a good player. And he told me, he said, I didn't want to. I didn't love the game enough to do that. You know, so, but he was a great college player. Derek Coleman didn't pan out as much as we thought he should. He just attitude, whatever. He still was a good NBA player.
He had put up good numbers, but he
could have probably been a Hall of Famer type player
if he was all the way in.
Sherman Douglas was an okay NBA player.
Ronnie Cicely played there.
Was pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? But think about all these guys were huge college stars for Boeheim. Carmelo Anthony's really the only one that had a great NBA career. So I'm just saying, we can say Boeheim had a ton of talent.
No, but they were good in college,
though.
They were good in college.
And part of that, he let them sit in that 2-3 zone, and they never learned how to defend.
And it's the same thing. I don't want to get into John Thompson, but we could get into him, too, and the players that were there and how Patrick Ewing averaged 13 points in college. I mean, that's just a fact.
Right. But here's what we wanted to get to. Jim Boeheim made a comment. You know, a lot of people talking about collegiate athletes should be paid. The NBA is starting to address this.
Well,
they're going to have the G League where they offer guys $150,000 to come straight out of high school for a year rather than going to college.
The big trial just ended where these guys from the sneaker companies, right, Adidas and whatnot, got convicted for wire transferring money fraud or whatever. And
they're really starting to bend these rules. Like with this G League thing in cahoots with the NBA and USA Basketball, these high school players, they're going to be able to get an agent and, you know, all that goes with that. So the system as we've known it is beginning to change. And how far it goes, we'll see. But Jim Boeheim does not want to see it go in the direction of players being paid. And here's one of the things he said. He talked about players being paid. He said, everybody says the coach makes this and the players don't make anything. The player is 17 years old. This is Boeheim. I've been working my whole life. There's a lot of 17-year-old kids that don't make money. Most of them. These 17-year-old kids are getting a $75,000 scholarship, and they compare that to a coach making all this money. What's the comparison there? I'm a grown man. I've been working 50 years, blah, blah, blah. He keeps going on. So here's what I say to Jim Boeheim. I do believe college players should be paid. It's be tough to figure out how to do it. So I know that's complicated, but that's not my argument. Jim Boeheim's logic in this regard, in this quote, is flawed. because you don't most 17-year-olds who work aren't generating millions and billions of dollars.
What is the TV contract the NCAA has with CBS? $6 billion, Chris.
Why? Because of these 17-year-olds.
It ain't because of Jim Boeheim.
No.
It's because of the players. So don't act like they're not generating the money. They are generating the money, and they get none of it.
Right.
And I get it. You want to say, oh, well, they get a college, they get a scholarship and all this. Dude, it does not – if you want to take out of the money and pay for your expenses and pay for the education,
yep.
What about that? CBS should just write a check for expenses of the players and the teams and for the scholarships. It wouldn't add up to $6 billion,
right,
Chris.
No question.
And you think the universities would do that and not get any money? They wouldn't go for it, and that's the point. When I went to Southern Connecticut State University in New Haven, it's a Division II school. How did you get into the games, Chris? I show my student ID. I didn't pay any money. They didn't have games. They weren't televised.
Right.
That's amateur sports. You have these kids not going to class, playing in a tournament for a month during school time, right? Games on top of games on top of games, traveling all over the country. Don't tell me that's amateur and that they don't deserve to
They're
be compensated.
Pros.
When I go to when I used to go to Michigan games, basketball, you would go by the gift shop or the shop, and they got jerseys of the players that they're charging. And they'd go, well, their name's not on it. But you know who those jerseys are by the number.
Yep.
The college, what was the video game for college? NCAA EA Sports, NCAA football. They weren't giving the kids any money, and they would say, well, this is the 1997 Michigan football team, but those aren't the players. Who are they then?
Right.
Who are the images? And they would have the same numbers that the kids wore, but they didn't give the kids any money. They were making money hand over fist. When they lost the whole notion, when they were going to get sued, you know what they did? Rather than to share money with the people who were involved, they shut it down because they didn't want to give the money to any of the kids.
Yep.
I don't understand. Yep. How people in their right mind could think they can make money off of people's likeness, off of their games, and not cut them in at all.
If you're a sophomore in college and you're you're great in engineering, or you're a great sports broadcaster and you're great enough to have your own show and make money from it, you get to keep that money and you could still go to school. What's the difference? And Jim Boeheim wants to compare 17-year-old Division I big-time college basketball players and football players to all 17-year-olds working. Well, let's compare Jim Boeheim to all basketball coaches. Why should he get more money than the high school coach, than the Division III coach, than the Division II coach, or even the small-time Division I coach? What, you're all glorified gym teachers.
That's what
it is.
That's
all you are. But Jim Boeheim makes millions. Why? Because the team he coaches generates that much money. And I'm not mad at him.
No.
Why don't you and I do the same thing now as Colin Cowherd?
Absolutely.
We don't get the same amount of money. Why?
Because he generates more. We understand
that. That's how
that.
It is.
Absolutely.
So if these players are generating that much money, they should get paid for it.
No doubt about it. And I just think it's wrong, especially in light of this. This is why kids have got to take money under the table for their family.
No question.
It's because the system is messed up. And
that's why, to throw this out there, that's why these college coaches, I don't care, they want to deny. I didn't know. You know.
100%.
And that's why they don't mind it. They don't want to get caught, but they let it go because deep inside they know this kid deserves, you know.
Right.
If you thought
it
was really wrong and the kid didn't deserve it, you wouldn't let it happen.
And the other thing, too, about the fallacy of the scholarship is that it's not guaranteed for 4 years.
Right.
They could take your scholarship at any time, and I don't think people really understand it. Well, they got a 4-year ride. Dude, if you're not playing up to par what they really want from you, they've had kids had their scholarships taken all the time.
Yep.
877-99 on Fox. What side of the fence are you on this?
Yeah, I just think Boeheim is way off in this. And we were talking with our producer, Rob G, earlier, and he was saying, well, and I don't have all the answers as to how you would pay college athletes. But I do get bothered when people act like it should be, well, if you pay the football players, you should pay the swimmers and the
No,
wrestlers.
You should
no,
not.
No, The swimmers and the wrestlers aren't generating money for the school. The football and basketball team, that's the reason you even have swimming and wrestling and lacrosse and all that.
Because that foots the bill.
Right.
They take care of that, and I'm with you. I don't believe in that. It's the same thing we talked about it with some of these other, like some of these TV stars and movie stars. I get it why Denzel gets $20 million
off the Everybody top. In that movie doesn't make the same money
as
Denzel.
They don't make $20
million. Why in college sports everything has to be equal when in no other area of American life it's not like that?
It doesn't work like that. If you generate it, and you know I teach at USC, yep. And I respect teachers and all that. People always say, wow, it's ridiculous. These players are making this money and teachers don't get compensated. I said, when you could sell tickets and broadcast a teacher teaching, it changes everything.
Right.
That's just that's the reality of it.
Of course,
pro sports
we all
only got big, Chris, bigger because of the television
right.
money. It ain't the gate receipts.
Right.
When it was only about the gate receipts, guys didn't make that much money. Those are facts.
Some of them back in the day worked other jobs
because they didn't make
yep.
that much money.
Right. It's all about what it generates. I don't think anybody in their right mind, anybody, would say that what these pro athletes or big-time collegiate coaches are doing is more important than that elementary school teacher. Nobody in their right mind, even these athletes, if they said it, they're crazy. But who's making more money? Why? Because that's what the sport generates.